When Graham Arnold was wrapped up in those hugs from his Iraqi staff and players after qualifying for the next round of the World Cup, it wasn't just a celebration, it was a moment that showed what real leadership looks like. That kind of connection doesn't happen by accident. It's earned, it's built. It's a result of a leader who understands people, culture, and the power of unity. In today's episode, we're breaking down what Arnie has done so well to unite just a team, but an entire nation behind them. And more importantly, what you can take from it. Whether you're coaching a team, leading a business, running a classroom, or trying to bring your own family together, the principles are the same. And as always, we'll map this straight back to your own world so you can build the kind of connection that lifts performance and strengthens the people around you. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. How good is the footage of Graham Arnold guiding Iraq through to the next stage of the World Cup football qualifying? Unbelievable scenes. From the sideline pictures of him turning his back to the game as the game came to an end, I think Iraq had a last-minute penalty to being mobbed by what appears to be all Iraqi assistant coaches and officials. His players, like, they embraced him as one of their own. That's how important it was to them. They've never qualified for a World Cup. They've still got a bit of a mountain to climb still to get through. They go into that repechage. I think it's eight teams, and there's only one spot left for that final spot in the World Cup. But after those scenes after the game, then who's going to say they can't? Even better than that, I don't know if you've seen the footage, and if you haven't, go check it out. In the press conference afterwards, he's answering questions to the Iraqi media through a translator, and then his players suddenly come in, they're singing, they're dancing, and giving him big hugs, and at one point, they actually, while he's still in the chair, lift him up like you would see you get a king get lifted up in a movie or something like that. It was unreal. And of course, all of the journalists and the media from the Iraqi media just were loving it as well. It was, quite the scene. And to me, what it showed is what I already know about Arnie is how he has that ability to bring people together. I did, through a third party, did pitch some work to him way back when he was working for the Mariners, so it's going back a fair while now, which obviously I didn't get, but it was all about something that this third party that introduced me said he was all about, which is finding different ways to do things and through that sense of connection. And so that was the proposal we put through to him. He has done such a great job in every team he's coached since then, bringing the unit together, the staff, the players, but the whole club. And he talked about it in the press conference afterwards. He talked about how important it was, not just for the players, but it was a home game, how important it was to have the fans behind them. And he talked about how if the fans had embraced that, he said in the build-up, they were so enormous, just how much they were getting behind the team. And then in the stadium, just how much it drove them on when they really needed that lift. And it's true of most teams when there's that connection from top to bottom and you engage your fans, then there's some magic that happens that just gets everyone moving together. We also just ticked off the 20-year anniversary of Australia's first qualification to the World Cup in 32 years. Just last week. And that's what it was like back then. I remember being at the game, and usually when you get anything like that, there's a bit of a bit of a slow build-up, but we got in there pretty early, and Stadium Australia is a big stadium, and there couldn't have been more than 10, 15,000 people in there. And some of the Australian players came out for a warm-up or something, and the noise that came out, and this was just a small part of the crowd was in the stadium, was unbelievable, and we're just thinking this is going to be a special night. And then what really sort of hit at home is that I think Australian football fans were so united, and we were sick of the letdowns, and we're going to go to any length to make sure we got the win, and probably sick of also watching our team get abused, humiliated, mocked when they go to other countries in this qualifying process. And so when the Uruguayan national anthem came on, people started booing, and we kind of looked at each other going, really, we're going to do this? And it was kind of like, well, I guess this is what it's come to. Certainly not saying that that was necessarily the right thing to do, but it showed where the collective were at. We weren't going to tolerate any of this anymore. And again, it galvanised the team. Well, it galvanised the crowd, sorry. And that crowd, the players have talked about, well, they've never experienced anything like it, and just what a factor it was. Now, of course, I had some pretty handy players back then that sealed the deal, but just having that collective buy-in, it just makes such a huge difference. So, again, if you haven't seen the footage, go check it out. Graham Arnold, what a legend. He's sort of quietly been ticking things along there with the Iraqi national team after he admitted himself towards the end of his role with the Socceroos. He was burnt out and really needed a long rest, which he had, and he's come back rejuvenated, but it just shows what a stressful job it is when you go through moments like that. But I'm sure he'd be thinking, where else would you rather be? Absolutely loves it, and I think you'd have to put yourself through those moments. So if you are looking at any of your situations, whether it's a place of work, whether it's a family unit, whether it's a sporting organisation, how are you engaging the collective? How are you bringing everyone together? How are you getting them all to buy in to one mission, to one purpose? Because when you can make that happen, then everything sings. I'm working with a family at the moment, working with a young footballer, but we're doing it together to make sure everyone's in this together. We're all pulling in the same direction, and it makes a huge difference. And it's actually a relief for everyone involved when you just tweak a few little bits about how they're operating and some of the things that they don't even realize they're doing that are detrimental to each other, and then help them see from different perspectives and get everyone, like I said, marching to that one beat, everyone on the same mission. It's amazing what's possible. So how can you make that happen in what you're doing? What are you doing towards bringing that unity, towards bringing that harmony? Initially, it might be just you having some self-awareness around, well, what can I change in this environment? What can I bring to the table? But then the bigger picture might be, well, what sort of things do we need to remove? It's like a gardening process. What weeds do we need to remove? What's not working? What people maybe are having a detriment to that unit? Maybe those on the periphery. Maybe some of the people within there don't need to be weeded out, but maybe some of their behaviours need to be weeded out. And then what does the garden need to then grow the important parts? You need to have a plan. That's a given. You need to know what the garden's going to look like, what the finished product's going to look like. But then it needs feeding. It needs sunlight, energy. So it needs energy to grow. You might need to plant some things, plant some new ideas, some new behaviours, some water, which metaphorically, water represents emotions. So might need to get some emotions out in the air, might need to externalise them. There's studies to show that externalising emotions, naming emotions, it really reduces the amount of stress, and stress causes cortisol, which cortisol has a really detrimental effect on your well-being. So externalizing it slows down that process, it removes that process. And just that whole gardening operation. You need to continue to work on it. You need to continue to feed. You need to continue to give it energy, to give it love, attention. Continue to weed out what's not working. So whatever group you're involved in, whatever unit you're involved in, you can play a part. And the more you can get everyone, if you're the leader, then you can have a huge part, because it always comes from top down. I'm doing some work with a place at the moment where it's clearly the problem is at the top. Not sure the top is quite ready for that conversation, so it might be some areas there that they're not quite ready to solve, and that's fine, because until people are, well, then there's not much that you can do until that time. But while you're in that, when you're in that environment, there are certain elements that you can bring to the table to improve things for the people you're having the most contact with. Start small, but important to take action. Use that a garden analogy, or even like a rather than a garden, let's call it a sporting arena. So you might be the rather than the gardener, you're the curator, or you're the groundsman. You've got to prepare your ground so it's ready for the biggest moments, the biggest events of your metaphorical sporting life. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.